Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Whether you are brand new and just trying to figure out how to buy your first rental, or you've been at this for a while, I think you're going to find today's guest pretty interesting. Britt Vitalius from Portland, Maine is joining us on the podcast today. I wanted to bring Britt on the show because I think he's got a really interesting perspective. He's been really successful in building out his portfolio. He's got 26 units right now. He's also the president of the Southern Maine Landlord Association. So he's out there working with other landlords. He's seeing what their struggles are, what's working and what's not working today. And he's also a full-time agent. So he's out there working with other investors. He's looking at deals all the time and trying to help people grow their portfolio. So I think he's going to have a really interesting perspective. I mean, he's really living this stuff day in and day out. So there's a couple of things I want to talk to him about today. I want to find out from his perspective what the best way is to find an investor-friendly agent. I know that's something that a lot of people struggle with, and I want to see if he can give us any tips on how to find a good realtor. I also want to see if he really thinks it's possible that somebody could have enough rentals where they could quit their job and live off the rental income. I know we've had a lot of people on the show that have done this, but I want to see from his real world experience if he really thinks this is possible. And then I want to get into his portfolio. I want to see how he built his portfolio. And most importantly, I want to see how he financed it, because financing that many units is not easy. So I want to see how he did it. So let's take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsor. We'll come back and we'll talk to Britt.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
So, Britt, how did you first get started buying rental properties?
I got my first one. I was actually living down on Miami Beach, and my folks came to visit many years ago, and they said, you know, we've never done very well in the stock market. This looks like a place we should buy a multi-unit. And so I got all the books and just dove into it and educated myself and bought our first property down there, sold it a few years later when I moved back to the state I grew up in Maine, and decided I wanted to become a broker and became a broker focused on helping people buy and sell multi-units and sort of along the way build my own portfolio.
Okay. Well, one of the things that our listeners struggle with all the time is trying to find an investor-friendly realtor to help them. And I think that, like, I understand where the breakdown is, because I feel like a lot of realtors just aren't trained to work with investors. And a lot of people say they're investors when they're really not investors. So I think they really give investors that are serious a bad name. So, like, how can investors work better with a realtor or even find a realtor that maybe could help them?
That's a great question. We see people fall into a couple categories. Either they think there's nothing to it, and so they just call their friend who's a sales agent, has a real estate license, and starts dragging them around, but that agent doesn't really know anything about multi-units, local laws, the market, rental market,
right?
Anything. Or in some cases, people think they're so smart they don't need an agent, and then go directly to the listing agent and work a better deal. And most of the time, both of those are mistakes. That as new investors, when you're trying to put your team together, if a buyer can take some extra time, learn the market, start looking at the listings and try and figure out who's a broker who spends their time doing a lot of multis in a particular area, they're going to be much better served.
Okay. So how say I'm looking to buy a property today and I'm looking for a realtor, like what would be my first step on trying to find a broker that's doing a lot of business with investors?
Yeah, it's not necessarily obvious, but certainly just starting with a Google search, go to agents' websites and see if they're talking about multis, see if they have listed multis, really vetting the listings and see who's selling them, who's selling the 2 units and 3 units and 10 units out there. And don't just look for one, because many residential brokers will list their friend's 2 unit, but that may be the only one they've done. So dive in, do a little bit of research, see who appears to be in the market, so to speak. And then I would be comfortable interviewing that person and ask them about their experience and what they think about multis, and do they know what a 1031 exchange is? How do they approach cash flow? And see if you can find someone who's a fit, but who you really want some local knowledge of the market, of the laws. It's going to be a huge benefit.
Sure. Now, with your experience as an investor and with all the landlords that you've come in contact with your landlord association, do you think it's a reasonable goal that somebody could buy rentals and quit their job? I know we've talked to a lot of people on the podcast that have done it, but I feel like there's a lot of people that really want to quit their job, but that they never quite get there. Like, so what's your opinion? Yeah. Like, is it possible to do this?
It is absolutely possible. It is also a lot of work. And we get approached by many buyers who want to quit their day job and just start buying up rental property because they've got an uncle who did it. They read a book. They saw an infomercial. They heard a good podcast. And it's doable. And some of the most successful owners that I know in Portland area, who have 100, 200, and even 1,000 units started that way. What's really important though is it's not easy. And I think a lot of times it gets kind of billed as passive income and not exactly free money, but the allure is, oh, and then I don't have to work.
Right.
And that is not the case. I think if that's the attraction, it's probably not, you're not going to get there. But if you love rental property, you love properties, you love people, and this is your calling, absolutely just dive all in and go for it.
Yeah. You know, it's tough because you quit your job. And if your job now is a landlord, maybe your job now is cleaning out properties or dealing with tenants, like things that maybe aren't really high level jobs, something that someone could, a property manager could do at a lower price.
That's a big point that I make to new buyers who are looking out. Maybe, you know, oftentimes new buyers come in and they read the book and they say, oh, well, it's all about the spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. That's how I know they're a new buyer. and they start looking out in some of the towns further out from my center in Portland to some areas that are rougher properties, a harder tenant base, higher vacancy rates, and the spreadsheets look good. But you can look at some of those and you just have to be careful. And I say to them, do you want that job? You know, do you want to buy yourself that job? There are a lot of jobs in the world you can do when you get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And they're not all jobs I want.
Right.
You want to be hauling out trash from the tenants who leave it behind and painting walls and fixing doors. Some people do, but just be clear about what job you are getting yourself. I think that's a great point.
Right, so tell me, what do you think is better? So you're in Portland, which is, you know, a bigger city, and maybe properties don't cash flow as well as if you go to a town that's a few hours away, maybe a smaller town that maybe has more of a depressed economy, but yeah, those properties are probably going to cash flow on paper a lot better. Like, what do you think is the better way to go?
There is no better. I think that's exactly the point. It's what are your goals?
Yeah.
And what do you want to do? If you want more cash flow and you want to get your hands dirty and work, go out to those cities or those communities where there's some cash flow, but you are going to work for those dollars.
Right.
You are absolutely going to work. If you're an attorney and you have some extra money and you want to buy property, you can't justify the time even driving, you know, two towns away to go show a property in the evening to a prospective tenant and get stood up and now drive home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a waste of time. I'd climb through that. The first year, I was as a broker and had clients, and they ran off to the dying mill town up here because the spreadsheets were better. And after a year, they said, Britt, we drive 40 minutes to the town. You know, we've been working all day. We drive up to meet some tenants, and then we get stood up and we drive home, and we weren't with our family and we missed our whole evening, you know, for a $500 rental.
Right.
So I think it's just keeping it all in perspective, the cash flow, your time, what you want to be doing, how much you get paid in your day job, your family priorities.
Sure.
And it's got to work for you. But there are other people who get up there, go up to those other towns, and properties are cheaper. They acquire 100 units. They're all in. They're doing exactly what they set out to do, and they're doing well.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're absolutely right. It's all about your goals and what you're trying to do. Now, tell me this. As a broker and someone that's seen a lot of people come up in the business, I feel like going from rental number one to rental number two is a really difficult thing for a lot of people. Like, how do you, what's the best way to do it? Like, to get that next step?
It is a huge challenge. It is a huge challenge for generally young people. They've been saving up. Maybe they've saved enough to buy their first property. They have the goal of building the portfolio, like you just said. But you know, then they spend that nest egg on the property, on their first acquisition, and they're kind of stuck.
Right. That
is hard. And I think that's back to coming up with a plan, thinking about your resources. And there are several options. If you can buy the first property with FHA financing or a VA loan, so you're not using a lot of capital for that first purchase, great. Go move into it and get started. You've got that first multi is also your first home. And in the meantime, maybe you have another way of saving some money. Other options are family. Honestly, tap the parents, the rich uncle, someone for a loan to go buy the next one and bring in a partner. Mm-hmm. Is legitimate. Or you've got to be a little riskier and a little more hands-on and buy that property that maybe is undervalued because it needs work. And you buy the ugly duckling and you get in there on the weekends and you fix it up and you clean it and you raise the rents, and then maybe you are in a position to refinance, pull some money out, and buy the next one. But those first couple they're hard.
Yeah.
But I would just stay in the market, have a good broker. I've acquired a couple properties that just kind of fell into my lap. One was 10% down. A buyer had walked away from the deal, and so it sort of fell into my lap. I was actually bailing out my client because the deal had fallen apart 2 days before the closing. And the buyer had put together the structure of an 80% loan. The buyer was holding 10%. So we only needed 10% for the purchase. And I looked at my wife and I said, gosh, we got to do this.
Right.
It's a great property. Yeah. I know the owner. It's in good shape. And so sometimes it's just also being in the market and being patient and just watching and waiting for that right opportunity.
Yeah. So let's talk about your portfolio. So you self-manage your portfolio, but it's not a lot of work, right? Like, managing 26 rentals doesn't really take much time.
On a good day. Yeah, that's right. We have probably a different approach than I'm going to guess many of your listeners have, because for, my family, our investments are sort of passive background, really focused on retirement, doing well enough in my day job, that it's better for me to spend my hours working at my day job as a broker, helping other people buy properties than working on my own. So we've bought properties. I would, for us, it's work to get just off the sort of sexy part of town, but not out in the really tough part of town. And where you can, so in these areas, you can tend to find a little bit more realistic prices. The cash flow works a little bit better. And maybe the properties were fundamentally fine, but they're a little tired. So what we do is we almost overimprove them. And we just are comfortable putting a lot of money into the buildings as there's turnover, natural turnover. We really fix up the units and make them pretty and attractive to good, responsible, professional tenants. And by doing that, we've got good tenants who don't need much from us. We put some good vendors in place to shovel and plow and have the boiler guy at the ready in case there's a heat problem in the winter. But after that, we don't really need to do much. I don't even drive by my properties every, you know, few weeks.
That's great.
So I think we've been fortunate to be in that position, but it takes investment. It takes looking at your property, something you're going to just keep spending money on in order to get it on. I say, I want to get it on cruise control.
Right.
So then it just runs and glides, and I'm looking at retirement, and this thing is just in great shape, and I've got great tenants, and I can go focus on my life and my family, and you know, I've got, you know, five properties chugging away for me.
That's awesome. And so these units, your plan is to get them paid off by the time you retire and then live on the rental income.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And we actually met with a financial planner, and he ran a projection out where we just sell them when they're paid off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that worked, because you know what I'd love even more than living off the rent income is not owning multis. Nothing better than owning them is not owning them.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, 20 years from now, let you know what we do. It's probably some combination of the two.
But, right. But, you know,
but it's nice to be able to project different scenarios.
That's a great strategy, too. I mean, you've got these properties that your tenants paid off, and now you've got these properties that hopefully over 20 years have appreciated a lot. And that's a really good strategy, too. I love it. Now
it works for us, and I'll just jump in and mention.
Yeah,
we're also getting a ton of depreciation in the meantime. I mean, we don't really need the income today. I need the depreciation. I need the tax offset.
Right.
So we're still getting a benefit today, and building wealth for the future.
Yeah. Now, what about getting financing? Have you had to work with local banks, like, or credit unions, or like, where do you? What kind of banks are you working with?
Yeah, it's a great question. For residential loans, and so now we're talking for your listeners, you know, single family, 2, 3, and 4 unit buildings. Again, that's where a good broker can help you. In many cases, there's going to be some probably national lender, or maybe they're local, but they've got sort of a national background reach, a mortgage broker that's going to underwrite loans that are probably going to go to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Those are going to be the best rates.
Okay.
So those are not necessarily the local banks per se. They're just mortgage brokers who are reselling loans to the secondary market.
Okay.
For commercial, for the bigger buildings, it's all local banks, and they're the best, and they know the market, and they want to do deals, and they've got money, and they want to build relationships with us. And that's who's doing those loans. So again, this is part of learning your local market and learning the players, learning who has the right products for what you're trying to do as a buyer is really important. And it's not just, I think, a big mistake that people assume is to go to the bank where they have their checking account.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those two things are completely unrelated. The mortgage department is completely different than the checking account. And many local banks for residential loans are very conservative, and they are wary about loaning their money. You want to find a lender that wants to give you money, wants to find a deal, a way to make the deal work, maybe has a creative product that fits your situation. And that's, again, just digging around, asking around who's doing what kinds of loans, who wants to do the kind of loans that I need for my goals.
That's interesting that the checking account department isn't related at all. And I think you're absolutely right on that. But everybody says that you want to develop a relationship with the bank. Like, so are they not really looking at that, looking that you have a checking account there, or is that all just a bunch of hot air that, like, really you're not developing?
It's really the way the loans work. So to some degree, it's hot air, because this is going to get a little technical, but if the bank holds the loan in house and it's a portfolio loan and it's really their money and they're going to keep that loan, then maybe the relationship matters. They know you, they trust you, they see what you've done, they believe in you. And when they go to that approval board, you're going to hopefully get approved. But most residential loans for these single family houses, 2, 3 units, are not kept in house. The better rates are they get sold off to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or some big national bank. So in that case, that bank, it's not really their money. they're just processing it and underwriting it.
Right.
And they need to fit you in a box. And the box is the form, and they've just got to check off all the boxes. And if they make a mistake, they have to buy the loan back. So they become very picky, and all those things about relationships suddenly don't seem to matter, and they're asking you for
right.
every crazy pay stub and letter from your grandmother about, you know, what you ate for lunch in third grade.
Right.
And you're not going to see a relationship anywhere
there. Right.
And it's just because it works differently. These banks are highly regulated. They're not trying to be jerks. They're highly regulated. And so that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Commercial loans, again, if it's the bank's money, so commercial loans are the bank's money and residential portfolio loans are the bank's money, then it's a little bit different. And then you should have a conversation. How's it going to work? How's the approval process work?
Right. And just so everyone understands, so anything that is 5 units or above is a commercial loan. And so for your buildings, they're all 5 units and above. Right.
They are.
Okay.
They are.
Okay. Now, with those commercial loans, most of them, like you, usually you can't get a 30-year loan. So you mentioned before your loans are 20 years.
Correct.
And yeah. the other thing is the rates usually adjust every 5 years. Do your loans adjust? Are they adjustable loans too?
They are adjustable.
Okay.
So, and this product changes all the time. And frankly, it's negotiable with your bank. You could get a 10-year fixed rate, maybe pay a slightly higher rate. So this is,
okay.
you know, you are talking to the person who's loaning you the money. To some degree, everything's negotiable.
Right, sure.
Which is what is fun about the commercial segment of the market. But in my situation, the loans were fixed for 5 years and then they just float. So
okay.
they don't reset every five. They float probably daily or monthly and they track to some index. Now, I bought a bunch of my properties, you know, 5 to 10 years ago. Once that fixed period was over, the rates dropped because rates have been going
right,
down for so long. So it's not necessarily the case that they're going to suddenly spike up. And I think people get overly concerned about that.
Now, is that a concern in the back of your mind anywhere that if maybe in a couple of years the rates are a lot higher, that a lot of your cash flow could evaporate?
It's not. If rates go up, it's going to be a sign that the market is doing better. It's going to be a sign that the stock market is healthier mm-hmm. and other funds are up. So that probably means my rents are up.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So yeah. again, you know, rents increase over time. After 5 years, all my buildings are performing better. After 5 years, I fixed them up. I've dealt with some deferred maintenance. I've cycled some tenants. I've improved the building. So I've already increased my cash flow spread. You know, I can't control everything in the world. If the rates go up a little bit, they go up a little bit.
Right. Right. But in theory, your payment could be different every month with your loans?
Yeah, I'd have to look at exactly how they work. I mean, they don't fluctuate that much.
Okay.
And I don't know what the period is to reset. But yeah, theoretically, they could go up some. But you know, it's just another variable.
Sure.
Your taxes go up.
Yeah, that's true.
The rental market goes
insurance
up and down.
Insurance goes up.
I think people put too much weight on the possibility of rates changing and less on just... I mean, get a good rate, but then go run your building.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Well, Britt, if someone wants to reach out to you, whether for your brokerage or they want to connect with the Landlord Association, what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
We are on the web. So my agency, my brokerage agency is at vitalius.com. That's vitalius.com. And the Southern Maine Landlord Association, I'd love to have people reach out and say hi there. We're on Facebook and at smlamaine.com. And that's Maine with an E for the state.
If you missed any of that and you want to look it up later, I'll go ahead and put all those links on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 109. If you love the show and you want to support us, the best thing you can do is leave us a review. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher, the reviews really do help, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.